You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Monday, September 24th, 2018, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. It is the rare Monday where we do not have a Jets game to break down. The Jets, of course, played Thursday night, a just terrible loss to the Browns. I'm still not over it. I'm still annoyed about it. I'm still upset about it. But it did lead to an interesting NFL Sunday. And it was interesting because we did not have a game to worry about, which meant that it was the rare Sunday where you could kind of just relax, kick back, and watch things unfold in the rest of the NFL. And again, it was frustrating. I like being in the clubhouse with a win because that's the most enjoyable football there is to watch, because you know that the Jets have already got a win. You can just watch the rest of the league. It's a little different going in after a loss, but you at least are able to appreciate the fact that half the league is going to be as miserable as you are by the end of the games on Sunday and Monday. And the NFL Sunday started off with a couple of news stories that were interesting. First of all, John Gruden, there's a report that John Gruden in Oakland has apparently been using his own personnel staff, separate from the Raiders personnel staff, to make decisions. As though things could not get any worse in Oakland, they have. And you know, you think you've got it bad. It's just a reminder, there's always somebody who's got it worse in the NFL. You think your team has it rough. Now, the goal should be to compare yourself to the pinnacle of the league. You should not compare yourself to the bottom of the league, but what a mess in Oakland, you know. And actually, in a way, it does make me feel a little bit better about the Jets, because as bad as things are with the Jets, at least it's not that. At least you don't have to deal with that. The fact that there are essentially two front offices now with the Raiders. You have the Gruden guys, Gruden using his own personnel guys. You have the Reggie McKenzie crew. I mean, this is not going to end well in Oakland. It's just not going to end well. And, you know, you'd think that you're paying Gruden $100 million. You'd think that you would have sorted this stuff out beforehand. Everybody would get on the same page. I mean, they've botched the Khalil Mack situation. They're 0-3 now after another terrible loss to Miami. We'll talk about Miami a little later. But my goodness, what a disaster in Oakland. So, you know, at least the Jets, you know, things are not that bad with the Jets. And another major story that came out before the games is that apparently, this one's from ESPN, apparently the Steelers are now listening to calls about a potential trade for Le'Veon Bell, who's been holding out the star running back. And from a Jets perspective, all I can say is, you know, neon letters, capital, bold, stay away, stay away, stay away, stay away, stay away. And I love Le'Veon Bell's game. Tremendous player, but there's just issues. Here are the issues with Le'Veon Bell. Is first of all, he's going to want, you know, the reports are he wants around $15 million a year. I think Le'Veon Bell's a tremendous player, and if I knew I was getting a sustained performance from Le'Veon Bell the way he's been performing these last few years, I'd consider it. But here are the facts with Le'Veon Bell. 1,229 carries, 312 receptions, so over 1,500 total touches in his career. Add another 100 playoff touches. Add another 400 that he touched the ball 400 times his last year of college. Those hits don't show up on the stat sheet, but the hits add up on the body. Just too many hits. I don't think he's going to last that much longer. You know, tremendous player. I don't think he's going to last that much longer. Some injury history there. Some suspension history. A ton of money it'll cost. And by the way, remember during the off season when, you know, he had some shots he took at the Jets. He fired some shots at the Jets on social media. You know, in case you forgot about that. I mean, somebody suggested that he should go to the Jets, and Le'Veon Bell said that he would not take a $60 million contract with the Jets. He said, that's not enough for me. So, you know, he took a few shots at the Jets as well. So I just don't think this is the right fit. You're the Jets. You have to be able to draft and develop your own running back. You have to be able to draft and develop impact player. Whenever a star player becomes available, people always want to say, well, the Jets should trade a pick for them because, well, you don't know what a pick's going to become. A pick could be anything. And that's, look, there are certain instances where it makes sense to trade a pick for a player. I think at this point, I'd say Henry Anderson, that was an instance where it made a sense to trade his pick for a player. You got a guy who's playing really well for the Jets for a seventh round pick. But this thing's not going to work unless the Jets draft and develop their own talent. And I don't think you're getting enough value for as long enough for Le'Veon Bell to give up a pick and give up, you know, a ton of money. He's going to want a huge contract, which, you know, he may be worth if you know he's going to continue to perform that way. But you just don't know that he's going to be able to do that. So I think the Jets, I mean, I would not even entertain. Le'Veon Bell to me is a guy who you might make a move for. I'm not even trying to make a move for. I mean, it's just way too much. The deal he wants is too much, I think, if I'm anybody. But to the extent I might make a deal for Le'Veon Bell, if I thought I was close to a Super Bowl, because I'm not sure he's a long-term player. And remember, he's holding out, so you're going to have to give him an enormous contract to get him to. You know, this is not a case where you trade for the guy and he's immediately back in the lineup. You're going to have to trade it. You're going to have to give him that deal if you want him to play for your football team. So I mean, look, it's not about Le'Veon, not about how good he is, but it just comes down to this is I understand that you can always justify trading, you know, a pick for a player because the player is always the surer bet. But you look at the long-term value, you look at the cap space you're going to be using on a Le'Veon Bell. Let somebody else make that deal. And you know something the Jets have been preaching, it's not just about this year. We're thinking long term. Well, I think a team that's thinking long term is not going to entertain this type of deal for a player whose value is mainly tied up in the short term, a guy who's going to want a ton of money. And he might be worth it if you can get that sustained production, but that deal could easily turn into an albatross. It's never a good idea to invest long-term in a running back who has a lot of mileage on the odometer, and that's essentially where I think Le'Veon Bell is right now. He's a tremendous talent, can help a team this year probably, but how long is he going to help a team? That's something I'm not sure about. My bookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everybody the best service possible, so if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they will give you an additional $25 free pay on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use promo code LOCKEDON25, that's locked on the number 25. Visit MyBookie today, MyBookie, and if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON25 when creating your account, you can claim up to a $1,000 bonus in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 free play. You play, you win, you get paid. We all love a day or a night out, whether it's seeing a show, seeing our favorite band in person, or being at MetLife Stadium to cheer on the Jets. And with Vivid Seats, you can attend the event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source of tickets for the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code to customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more, so you can save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off $200 or more orders as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite event live. We're here on Locked On Jets today talking about the rare Sunday without the Jets, which kind of allowed us to explore the rest of the NFL. I mean, I'm not sure what you did. Maybe you took a Sunday off from football after that loss. Maybe you found some other hobby. Maybe you went out to do something. But I spent it watching the NFL. And again, it was a very interesting look at the league. And I think that this Sunday just is a reminder that you cannot draw sweeping conclusions based on one game. I mean, I saw people going crazy about Sam Darnold's performance on Thursday night. People saying Baker Mayfield, wow, that guy has the look of a franchise quarterback. Darnold doesn't, which, you know, for that game may have been true. Tremendous. It was a good performance by Mayfield and not a good performance by Darnold. But you can't go crazy week to week because the NFL is unpredictable. You know, people are projecting doom and gloom for the Jets and probably fairly, but I mean, you can't say, some people are saying, I'm reading, Jets may not win another game this year, which, I mean, look, anything can happen in the NFL, and we saw that again on Sunday. I mean, look at the Buffalo Bills, who were supposed to be the worst team in the NFL, and still, and probably, you know, they're in the running, they'll be in the running by the end of the year. Minnesota Vikings, a Super Bowl contender, at home, against the Bills, and the Bills crushed them. It just, again, it just shows you the unpredictable nature of the NFL, why you can't go crazy about things that you can't, I mean, you can't really predict the league, but you can't go crazy about things that happen for 1 week. And that's true in the sense that nobody could have predicted the Bills would go out and play that well. Nobody could have predicted that the Vikings would play that poorly. But how much is this really going to matter at the end of the day? I'm pretty certain the Bills are still not going to be a very good team this year. And the Vikings, well, the Vikings may disappoint you. I don't know. Maybe they will. They may, you know, there are teams every year that, you know, start off with Super Bowl expectations and end up not being that great. But the Vikings are going to be better than the Bills at the end of the year, and they still might be in the mix. So, you know, you just can't go crazy. This is a reminder that you can't go crazy over 1 week, and you also can't predict this league. You know, you say the Jets are never going to win a game again after Thursday night. Well, that's, I understand your frustration, and I understand, you know, getting emotional, but this is a game that shows you. I mean, who could have ever thought that the Buffalo Bills were going to go in there and beat the Minnesota Vikings? But that's what always happens. You know, it always happens. You always see some bad team catch a good team sleeping. And, you know, another example of, I don't know, we'll see. The Titans were a playoff team last year, but I think it was a very surprising result that the Jaguars, a week after their big win over the Patriots, kind of looking to claim supremacy in the AFC, you know, may kind of declaring that they're the team to beat in the AFC, go and lose at home to the Tennessee Titans, who, you know, in fairness, were a playoff team last year, but I don't think anybody thought that they'd lose that game. And, you know, maybe it was a case where they were, I mean, I don't know, were they a little too full of themselves? Possibly. By the way, not a great result for the Jets, by the way, because you wanted the Jaguars to sleepwalk past the Jets. You wanted the Jaguars to say, oh, well, we're 3-0. You wanted them to beat the Titans, go into the game saying, we're 3-0. We'll crush the Jets. The Jets, you know, now you're going to refocus Jacksonville team. And you also have the issue we talked about on Friday, which is, you know, as if the Jaguars needed any motivation, all Doug Marrone has to say to his team is, guys, you think we're going to walk over the Jets? This is week four. What happened week four last year? We lost to the Jets. So, you know, maybe not exactly an ideal circumstance coming out of Jacksonville. Is not only do you have what happened last year's motivation, but now the Jaguars are going to be refocused. I don't think the Jets are going to catch the Jacksonville Jaguars off guard. But again, you know, who would have predicted that? Who would have thought that? I understand divisional game. I understand the Titans probably aren't as bad as people, you know, as people may have thought going into that game. And they were a playoff team. In fairness, they were a playoff team a year ago, and they beat the Jaguars to make the playoffs the end of the season. But still, a surprising result there. And, you know, I also, you know, you look to Kansas City when we talk about who could predict. Well, the 49ers were kind of the hot sleeper team heading into the season, and their hopes for doing anything this year may have taken a total nosedive as Jimmy Garoppolo goes down with an injury that they fear is an ACL injury, which would probably end the season. And the 49ers have looked terrible this year. I mean, they looked terrible week one against Minnesota. They looked bad again in this game against Kansas City. You know, they scored a couple touchdowns late to make the score more respectable. They were blown out in the first half and just a terrible performance. You know, it's just, you know, some of these years, sometimes you just have a team that, you know, was expected to do big things. They were the hot sleeper team, and after the way they ended last season with Garoppolo, I think a lot of people were on their bandwagon heading into this season, and it's, you know, it's probably not going to happen for them now if Garoppolo has to miss a lot of time. And I'm sure Garoppolo is going to play. You know, Garoppolo could have gone out of bounds there. I'm sure he's going to replay that in his head over and over and over again. You know, just a really, really rough break for the San Francisco 49ers. And then on the other side, the Kansas City Chiefs, who once again, you know, they started last season great. This year, once again, they look spectacular. And in many ways, I think when you look at the Chiefs, you think of another team that drafted a quarterback in 2017, the Chicago Bears. And you look at the difference between the two quarterbacks running the same system. You know, Matt Nagy, who went from Kansas City to Chicago, installing in many ways an offense that's similar. And you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who look great. Patrick Mahomes, 13 touchdowns. Now, is Patrick Mahomes playing at an MVP level? From what I saw Sunday, no. I have not watched Mahomes all year. From what I saw Sunday, a guy who's playing effective football in pretty much driving a Ferrari of an offense between that system, between the playmakers he's got, lots of open receivers, easy passes, screen game working, throw it up, Travis Kelce's pulling in an off-target throw with one hand. So, I mean, he's playing in a great system. And it's not a knock on Mahomes. It's more just a tribute to how good that Kansas City offense is. And it looks really good. But what Mahomes is doing, Mahomes is taking it to another level, because if you watch one of the touchdowns, which was just a spectacular scramble and throw, and with his arm strength, he takes that offense, he unlocks new things to that offense. And he's a guy, you know, you look at a lot of the great young quarterbacks in the league, whether it's Brady, whether it's Ben, whether it's Russell Wilson, early in their career, the offense were not carrying the full load on offense. So again, it's not a knock on Mahomes to say that he's not carrying the full load on offense. I mean, that's the way you break a quarterback in. What you do is you want the guy to make the timely play. Every now and then when things break down, you want him to make the big play. And that's what Mahomes is doing. He's doing it at a very high level. And then you look at the Chicago Bears, who had a good win, and their defense looks great. And they're 2-1 now. They could easily be 3-0 if, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't pull a superhuman act on Sunday Night Football Week 1. But you wonder about their ceiling, because Mitch Trubisky is not running that offense at a high level, the level Pat Mahomes is running his offense at. And it's, again, you know, people are saying, you know, the excuse out of Chicago I'm hearing is, well, it's his first year in the new system. I got to tell you, I'm not buying it. He's just a guy who looks like he's struggling at the basic elements of the position. And it might be unfortunate for that team, because you look at that Bears team, they have a lot in place. They have a defense that's playing really well. They have playmakers on offense. They have a great system, just like Kansas City has the best offensive system in the league. And Mitch Trubisky is being handed a Ferrari. And look, they got to win this week. They got to win last week. But I wonder about their staying power if Trubisky doesn't start playing. And I don't know if he's going to start playing better, because he's just missing basic elements, whether he's making a read, throwing a guy open. Pat Mahomes, I don't think, is playing 13 touchdown in 3 game good. I don't think he's playing that well. But he's a guy who's doing what he needs to do. He's playing well. And he's making plays. He may not be making plays at the level his stats indicate. He's a guy who's making plays. He's making the right reads. He's making good throws. Mitch Trubisky's not doing any of that. And you know, I look at these two teams, and both of these teams are potentially set up to be contenders. But what you have at the quarterback position in Kansas City is a guy who's giving you a chance to have a special season. I'm not sure if Chicago's going to have, in spite of their win, I'm not sure Chicago has that staying power. Here on Locked On Jets, talking Sunday NFL Week 3, we're just talking about the Bears and their victory over the Arizona Cardinals, and question marks at the quarterback position in spite of their win. But I'll give you one other thought about that game. Is Josh Rosen entered that game late in the fourth quarter, Arizona's offense looking terrible, trying to lead a comeback drive. And first NFL action, did not have the week to prepare, kind of got thrown into the game late. He got some practice reps, but thrown into the game midstream, trying to lead a game-winning drive. Fourth down, what do the Chicago Bears do? What did the Chicago Bears do? They send the house at Rosen. They try to play tight man coverage, and they essentially say, you are going to have to make a quick decision under duress and fit the ball into a tight window. What happens? Rosen throws an interception. And I'm a big Rosen fan. That was a tough spot for him. You compare it with what the Jets did Thursday night with the game on the line with Baker Mayfield, where they sat back in zones. They sent one ridiculous corner blitz from Jermaine Johnson, which was just, ludicrous, and which gave Mayfield an easy completion because he saw it, and blitz took so long to develop. They did not send in. This is a team whose identity is supposed to be, you know, they've invested all this money at corner, and their identity is supposed to be aggressive on defense, you know, lock guys up on the back with the cornerback group they have, and they did not do that Thursday night. It was such a stark comparison with what I saw the Chicago Bears do yesterday, when the game was on the line, they sent the house at Rosen, and they didn't see what the Jets did with Mayfield. And Mayfield, I give Mayfield credit, because Mayfield hit the open men. He made the right reads. He threw accurate balls, but the Jets did not dictate the terms of engagement Thursday night. The Bears did dictate the terms of engagement. The Jets let Mayfield sit back there, read the defense, find his guy. The Bears said to Josh Rosen, kid, you may beat us, but if you beat us, we're going to force you to make a great play. We're going to force you to make a quick read under duress and fit the ball into a tight window.
And then in the nightcap yesterday, we have another example of just how unpredictable the NFL is, as the Detroit Lions, a team that just looked absolutely dreadful through the first 2 weeks, who got crushed by the Jets week one, go out and beat the Patriots. So I guess you could argue the Jets are better than the Patriots right now, because both teams are 1-2, and while the Jets crushed the Lions in Detroit, the Patriots lost pretty handily to them, were pretty thoroughly outplayed by them. ultimately, though, you look at that, it's a little frustrating from the Jets' side because Miami is now 3-0. They beat Oakland on Sunday, and we'll see what happens. But I think we're all expecting that the Patriots will restore order next week and beat Miami. But it's a little frustrating because this is a Miami club that, while it's 3-0, does not exactly look like a dominant force. The Jets have had two games that were there for the taking. This could easily be the Jets with a two-game lead in the AFC East. You look at it, it just feels like kind of a squandered opportunity to get off to a good start, to potentially, you know, surprise some people this year. As you know, and again, more than anything that Sunday night game shows you, the NFL is just unpredictable, and you know, you just can't go crazy over the results of a couple of games early. That'll do it for our show. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow.